At this time, we are asking you to get your Bibles and let us turn to the book of James. The book of James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. God bless you. At this time, I'm reading verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'd like to read that again. The 17th verse. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Thank God for the reading of that 17th verse. And the Lord has placed on my heart to preach this morning from this subject. If you know better, do better. If you know better, do better. As we look at this passage where it says that if you know to do good, then you got to do it. You got to do it. I think about people who are serving the Lord, and sometimes I think they forget that the devil is ever busy, and they are quick to point out all the things that they do and what I don't do. I don't do this, and I don't go here, and I don't drink, and I don't club, and I don't smoke, and I don't. Well, what we want to look at today is not I don't, but I do. I do. We need to do. First of all, we need to keep in mind this, that the things that we know and we gather from the Bible, we know that it is God's word, and we know that it's right. There's no question about what God requires of us, whether it's right or wrong. If God said it, it's right. So, but the devil comes along and he wants to try to deceive you and get you to not see what you need to do. But here, this morning, we need to keep in mind, and this is what I really want you to keep in mind, is if you know what God says do, and you don't do it, you sinned. There's no way around it. You sinned. Because sin is disobeying God's word. A lot of times, people in situations, and they want to point the finger at somebody else. But God wants you to not look at them, because we can't make anybody do what's right. But we are responsible for ourselves to do what God says. And when we fail to do what we want to do, or what we have rationalized, and what we have found fault with other folks, and well, it wasn't me, and you don't do what God says, then you sin. And sin carries a punishment. So don't focus on the I don't do this and I don't do that. Focus on I do. Because remember now, when you do what God says, you're obeying him. But when you fail to do what God says, that is disobedience. And disobedience to God's word is always a sin. Always a sin. Well, as we go to the word of God, we want to look at Jesus had an encounter with a lawyer. And they were always asking Jesus questions, tempting him, trying to trip him up. and we want to find out what. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 10. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, as I want you to see the account of what's happening here. Luke, the 10th chapter. Listen to God's word. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? 27. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. So after he answered Jesus, when Jesus came back and posed a question to him in verse 28, and he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the do. That's what we're required to do. We can't half-step with God. We can't be lukewarm with God. We can't be on Sunday on fire with the Lord and the rest of the week, you got to love God with all that is within you. All our bodies belong to God. Our mind, our whole bodies belong to God. So Jesus said, you answered right. And if you do that, then you will have eternal life. But he wasn't satisfied with that. That's where a lot of folks are. They want to point out themselves and like I'm almighty. I'm doing this right. I got this right. So he wasn't satisfied with that. He took it a little further. And then he went to verse 29. He says, But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? I hope we are not asking that question today. Who is our neighbor? All right, let's see. Jesus has an answer for him. We find Jesus gave him an account of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And as we look at verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So we see an account. Jesus is painting a picture now. The man wanted to know who was his neighbor. Jesus is going to help him to see. All right? And then, verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. You mean the priest saw the man wounded, had been beaten up and in need of help, and the priest didn't go and lend a helping hand? Amen. He went on the other side. It's as though he didn't even want to pass by. So pretend almost like I didn't see this. The priest. All right, let's go a little further. Verse 32. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Well, the Levite went a little further. At least he went and looked at him. But he passed on the other side. You mean he saw the condition that the man was in, and he left that man there and went on the other side? A lot of folks say, well, that's not my problem. You ever heard people say that in situations? Not my problem. All right. Let's see as we continue to see the picture that Jesus is painting. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. A Samaritan. And if this was a Jew that got whipped up, you know the Jews and the Samaritan didn't get along. But the Samaritan saw the man, and he looked at him and had compassion. You mean someone that perhaps was, they didn't think well of each other? Somebody that they perhaps considered ourselves enemies? He had compassion on him. You mean a stranger? Somebody had compassion on the man that was all wounded and needed help? He went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. You mean he did that for somebody he didn't even know? Somebody perhaps was received as his enemy? Took care of him, bound up his wound, put oil and wine in there, and put him on his beast. So, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, verse 35, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Talking about going the extra mile, he went the extra mile. He went above and beyond. Not only did he rescue him from out there on the streets, he took him to an inn and took care of him, and he had to go away, but he said that you take care of him, and whatever you spend, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it when I come back. That's compassion, isn't it? All right. Verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? So now it's Jesus' time. He asked Jesus, who is his neighbor? Now Jesus is asking him a question. And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thy likewise. Be compassionate. Be merciful. Don't be selfish. Have concern for other folks. So as we look at this parable, as Jesus was helping this man to see who his neighbor was, Jesus, in this, we find out that the priest and the Levite, they failed to love their neighbor. And wasn't that part of what you were supposed to do? Love God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The church people failed to show love to their neighbor. So we find out in this, as we all know, that all mankind is our neighbor. Doesn't matter about their nationality, color, creed, none of that. We're all made of one blood. And where we can do good, we are required by God to do good. Can I get an amen? Do good. They might have done you wrongly, but do good. That's what God is, because you have instruction from God that we are to do good. So Jesus had to point out to him who his neighbor was, since he asked the question and he had to answer it himself. He said, the one that showed compassion. And Jesus says, that's what you need to do. That's what we need to do, saints. Amen. If you know to do good, we are to do it. We're not allow the devil to come in and give you, well, they did this and they did that and whatever. No, no. If they come and ask me, then I'll do, no, no. If there's a need and God enables you to see it, then you ought to do what is right. Show love to your neighbor. All right, so we want to look at some things that perhaps people don't consider. But again, it's tied into the he that knoweth to do good. You got to do it. And if you don't do it, it's a sin. All right, we found out as Jesus was talking to that lawyer, he pointed out to him that he had to love God and his neighbor. Now, folks want to love God, but it's the neighbor that they have problems with. But remember now, the greatest commandment is that we love God. And then the next one is that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Do we see the importance that God puts on that? So folks, they say, I love God and I love this, but they don't love the neighbor. They don't love the ones they see every day. They don't love the ones that have done them wrong. Well, Scripture says that we are to love our enemies. Can I get an amen? We're to love our enemies. That's what God says. And if God said it, it's right. And we don't look at it. We can't allow ourselves, we can't allow the devil to point out all the evil and all the bad they've done. If your enemy needs help and they ask us for help, we're going to do it. And sometimes we just volunteer to see that there's a need to help. Amen. And we got to remember that this is what God tells us. We got to love our enemies. It's easier to love nice folks. It's easier to love people who do what's right. It's easier to love folks who are kind to you. But God wants us to know we got to love those who we, in our eyesight, think that perhaps they're unlovable. And we need to keep in mind that if you know what is right to do, you got to do it. He that knoweth to do good, and you don't do the good that you know, it's a sin. It's a sin. You see how the devil likes to deceive people? He'll get you to just boast and brag about all the things you don't do, because I'm righteous, I'm holy, I'm doing this. But he doesn't want you to see the things that you need to do and you're not doing. He doesn't want you to see those things that you omitted to do that God had required that we do. But we got to remember that when we don't do what we know to do according to God's word, it's a sin. And saints, we don't want to sin against God, because when I pray, I want God to hear my prayers. When you pray, you want God to hear your prayers. Amen. When you ask God for help, you want God to help you. Amen. So we got to do what God says. You know, a good example of that was when the children of Israel had this battle against Ai, a little small country that they should have beaten without any problem. But we find out that God said, don't take of those things you see. We find out that one took of them. They saw something, and they took it, and they brought trouble to the camp. God said, don't do it. He did it. And because he did it, folks lost their lives, disobeyed God. But I thank God that Joshua prayed, but God knew. And we got to keep in mind, God knows our heart, God knows our thoughts, God knows everything about us. So he took it and he hid it. But God pointed out from tribe to family and right to the man. And because he did that, he lost his life. His family lost their lives. Because he knew to do good, but he didn't do it. And it was a sin. And that's why they lost the battle, because there was sin in the camp. Can't be sin in your life and you expect the blessings of God. That's what the Son of Man does. He's under the misconception that God is going to bless him in his sin. A lot of sinners, they are blessed and helped because a saint is praying for them. A saint is praying, say, God, have mercy on them. Saint is praying, Lord, spare their lives. The saint is praying, Lord, keep them. Amen. But God is requiring obedience out of everyone. All right, let's go a little further. We want to look at some more things that we perhaps don't even think about that we got to do and God says we have to do. God tells us that we have to do good to all men, especially his people. That's what the scripture said. I want you to go to Galatians. Let you see what the word of God says. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians, the 6th chapter. All right, Galatians chapter 6. All right, as soon as I get it in the right book, I'll read it. Galatians chapter 6. Went a little too far. All right, we're together now. Galatians chapter 6. I'm reading at verse 10. Listen to what the word of God says. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Look what God is telling us. He said, as people, his people, do good to all people, but especially to God's people, the household of faith. This house, the people of God, we are family. If they're saved and we're saved, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Amen. And we need to be concerned one for the other. Can I get an amen? Amen. So if you're going to, if you do good to everybody, but you're not going to leave out God's people. We want to make sure that God's people are taken care of. And when you fail to do that, God will hold you accountable. God will hold you accountable. So, sometimes people say, well, they ought to know better. Well, you know better on some things. Do you do better? Amen. Folks are quick to point their finger at somebody else, and the fingers need to be coming back at them, because they quick to find fault in people, because sometimes that's what they're doing. They're on the same street. So especially to the household of faith. Especially. That's what God says. And it's all right to take care of family. Can I get an amen? We're the family of God. Amen. So we're going to make sure that we take care of God's people. All right? So we got to do that. That's a do. All right, let's look at another thing that we have to do. We need to be proper marriage partners. Proper marriage partners. Those who are married, God has given us some guidance to be proper marriage partners. And over in Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us in that passage that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. If you know that, you got to do that. If you don't do that, if you don't do what you know, then you've committed a sin against God. Jesus loved the church so much that he gave his life. Jesus died for the church. Amen. He died for the church. And God wants men in the marriage relationship to remember that Jesus loved the church so much that he sacrificed his life. And he wants you to take that lady that you married, and he wants you to love her. He wants you to make provisions for her. Amen. And if there's a sacrifice that's necessary, you're going to sacrifice. If any shortcoming in the house, it'll be you that come up short, because you're going to take care of the wife. Can I get an amen? That's what the Bible says. And if you know God tells us to do that, that's what you got to do. I don't see it too much now, but sometimes you used to see these men when they were really into the bling bling. They had all the jewelry, and their wife didn't have anything. Amen. If anybody should have had, it should have been the wife. Amen. God wants us to know, want the men to know, you got to be the right proper partner for that wife. You got to take care of the husband is the head of the wife. And you don't have to go around boasting and bragging about your head. Love them. Do what's right. They'll honor you as the head. Can I get an amen? When you do what God says, God will help you in your situation. Amen. So the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And God wants the husband to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Amen. I want you to take care of your wife like you take care of yourself. Can I get an amen? And you, if you know that's what God says do, and you fail to do what God says, then you have sinned. It's not based on what she does, men. It's not based on what she does. It's based on what God says. And you got to do it God's way. And if you do it God's way, you'll be blessed of the Lord. And then with the wives, you have responsibility too. God, in this Ephesians 5, starting the 23rd verse, he wants us, want the wives to know you got to reverence your husband. You got to reverence him, honor him in his rightful place. And if you don't honor him and reverence him the way God says to you, it's a sin. It's not based on whether he does what he's supposed to do. You married him. So since you married him, the Bible says he's your head. And since he's your head, you got to honor him. That's why the young ladies need to be mindful. Don't you marry somebody you know you're not willing to obey. Amen. Not willing to reverence. You're just asking for trouble. Amen. So we need to be, don't just be blindly in love. You better ask God, open my eyes, Lord, because there's some things you need to see before you say, yes, I'll wear your engagement ring. I'll marry you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because once you do that, and people forget this, when a man and a woman get married, there's a certain vow that they take. And that vow is to God. You're going to honor and cherish and love until death do you part, and you're going to do what's right in sickness and in health. That's a vow you made to God. You made in the presence of God. Then the devil will come along and say, well, you didn't get married in church. You got went to the justice of peace. You went over in Georgia and got married. Doesn't matter where you were. Out on a cruise ship, in a foreign country, in the airplane, wherever you are, God is there. Because God is everywhere, isn't he? Amen. And when you made that vow, the Bible lets us know it's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. Amen. So husband, you have a responsibility to do what you know is right to do according to God's word. And if you don't do it, you sin against God. And you know what else? If men don't treat their wives right, their prayers will be hindered. Who can afford for their prayers to be hindered? Every prayer we pray, we want to go right to heaven. We don't want it to be hindered. So in the man's responsibility, he who knows to do and you don't do, it's a sin. Oh, but you're on fire for the Lord, but are you treating your mate right? Amen. Are you loving your companion the way you should? Are you reverencing them the way you should? And if you know it, and I think most folks who go to church, they know that, because I know if you come to Victory, you've heard it before. And once you hear something, you're responsible for doing it. Remember last Sunday, the subject was, God is not accepting excuses. There is no excuse for those of us who are here. And you hear, as God has given us a review of what he is requiring of us, you will have no excuses. So I didn't know that. Well, God said, I sent it to you. I don't know if you were asleep or not, but I sent it to you in June of 2020, first Sunday. So now you are responsible for doing what you heard. All right. The next thing that we have to do that is a sin and people don't realize it is this: not coming to church. You mean, all right, let's see what the Bible says. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to let the Bible speak. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I want to see what God says in his word. Hebrews 10, 25. Well, let's read the 24 first. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. He that knoweth to do good and you don't do it. Amen. Look at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You mean that if you know you need to be to church and you need to go to church and you don't come to church because you allow the devil or something to sidetrack you, do you know that's disobeying God? Disobedience is a sin. He says, don't stay awake, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need to come together. We need to be in a place where we can pray together. We need to be in a place where we agree that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We need to come where, as we sing songs and hear the word of God, it lifts our spirit and God fortifies, strengthens us, and help us to fight the battles that we're going to fight. Because the Bible says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but he delivers us out of them all. God sends a message to those who assemble that will be helpful to us. And if you don't need it tomorrow, store it in your heart. God sends us what we need, and his word does not return void. So, folks who could come to church and they don't come to church because they allow other things, well, the Bible says they need to come to church. So don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is. We don't want to be that part of the people who don't want to come, who know they ought to come but don't come, and allow all kinds of excuses. It's interesting that when it comes to serving God, people will offer a lot of excuses, but I don't feel well. But I wonder how many times people are going to work not feeling well. Amen. Or they hold too long. I wonder how many times you're going to the doctor, the emergency room, and sit up there almost all night. Amen. But you can't come to church and say, God, I thank you Amen. Sometime if you come to church when you're not feeling well, God will bless you and you won't have to go to the doctor, the emergency room. Can I get an amen? Amen. God will bless you for your faithfulness. God knows all about it. Years ago, sometime I know I've come to church. Thank God it hasn't happened as of late, but with a headache. And get up because I had a responsibility to deliver the word of God. And I forgot about my headache and preached the word of God. And I came to church with one and left home. I left the church without one. God is that kind of God. Amen. When you're faithful to God. God said he would supply all our needs. Amen. Could a call say it was get somebody to pinch it? No. I needed to be here. I had a responsibility. You need to be here. Those of us who, we need to be here. Amen. And it's very obvious during the time in which we're living now. It's very obvious. All the trouble in the land. We need to be here. We need to hear a word of encouragement. We need to be strengthened. Amen. We need to be reminded that in spite of what's going on, God is yet on the throne. And he is. All right. The next thing you need to do, if you don't do it, it's a sin. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. Romans, the 12th chapter. All right, Romans, the 12th chapter, if you have that. Verse 18, listen to what it says. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We're not troublemakers. We're not creating strife. We are a people of peace. And if you, sometimes folks have disagreements and they are too proud or too stubborn to mend the fence. They keep saying, well, I didn't do anything, and I just, when they come to their senses and then they come to me and we get it worked out. No. No. You know that things are not like it used to be. You know something is wrong. And it's not incumbent upon you, them, it's on you. It's for you to go and try to mend the fences to get things right. Folks, Jesus said, you know, if you come to bring your gift to the altar, you remember there's an altar against your brother, don't you come offering praises to me and whatever. Leave that gift and go get it right. And if you don't do it, it's a sin. It's a sin. And you can be all fired up and talk about how good God is. You better get that right. You better mend the fence. You better get that love restored. Because the verse says that if it be possible. Now, you can't make somebody accept an apology. You can't make them be at peace, but you are to make an effort to get it done. We need to look in the mirror at ourselves. And some folks, they write in everything they do. And some people, if folks don't agree with them, then they get upset with them. That's the wrong spirit. You're not right in everything you do. Sometimes a child can say something to you you hadn't even thought about and it make a whole lot of sense. Amen. We got to understand that folks are not going to see eye to eye on everything, but you don't have to fall out. You can agree to disagree and yet maintain a friendship. But some folks, they're so religious and so righteous that they are not humble enough to say, I'm sorry. Some people hate to say, I'm sorry. We need to say, I'm sorry, when you realize you've done wrong. And if you fail to do it, and that's what the Holy Ghost will do. The Holy Ghost will trouble you. The Holy Ghost, you know, folks try to overpower the Holy Ghost. But I tell you what, the Holy Ghost knows when to get you by yourself and work on your conscience. And if you can ignore the Spirit of God, you need to pray. You need to pray. But God says in this 18th verse, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. All men. And the people in the church sure shouldn't fall out and stop talking and the fellowship and associating the people, because we're family. You say God is your father. Well, if I'm you saved and he's your father and I'm saved, he's my father too. So when you fail to do what God says, don't you look at anybody else. You look at yourself in the mirror. And if you don't, and that's what the Holy Ghost will do. It will bring to your remembrance what you need to do. And if you fail to do, then you sin. All right. As I close, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. If you know better, do better. And if you don't do what you know God has told you to do, it's a sin. And we can't afford. We don't have a lifestyle of sin anymore. Jesus died so we wouldn't have to live that way anymore. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Verse 10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. The mouth has gotten a lot of people in trouble. Some folks down in jail because of their mouth. Amen. Some folks are in the grave because of somebody's mouth, told a lie on them. Amen. But here God says here in his word that if you want to have good days, and we all want good days, we want those happy days, amen. If you want it, you keep your mouth. You keep your tongue from evil. And your lips that they don't speak lies. No, that's what the guile is, deceit. Amen. Don't deceive folks. And then look at verse 11. Let him eschew evil, in other words, shun evil, avoid evil, amen, and do good. So God says, do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Ensue it means pursue it. Go after it. Don't wait. Go after it. Be a peacemaker. Amen. Be a person who has the Spirit of God in them, and they're able to realize that that pride comes in and the devil brings bad feelings, but you got to get rid of that, because what God tells us that we have to forgive one another. And if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So God is telling us, if you know better this morning, you got to do better. And don't you come to God with excuses. Well, God is not accepting your excuse. It's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God wants us to examine ourselves. And God wants us to live right. God wants us to be a light that's shining in a dark world. This world needs a light, saints. So many folks are going astray. So many folks are without Jesus. They need a light. And Jesus tells us in his word that we are the light of the world. So let us do what the word of God says. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's a sin. Let's not have the sin of omission. That's what that is, the sin of omission. You know what to do, but you won't do it. You know you need to say, please forgive me, but you won't do it. You know you need to say, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? And you won't do it. It's a sin. If you know better, do better. Will everyone please stand? God bless you. We thank God for his word. God is getting us ready. You know, Jesus is coming back. And he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be coming with excuses because they won't buy. He won't buy it. Jesus died so we could get rid of those excuses and live for God. Whatever your request, whatever your need, as we go to the throne of grace, I want you to have faith in God, have mercy, and know that God is our help. If you need salvation, pray and ask God. He said, if you ask for the Holy Ghost, he'll give it to you. Whatever you need, let us go to God in prayer. Heads are bowed. Dear God, our Father, we come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you for your word, Lord. You sent your word to remind us of the things that we need to be doing. And we need to do what you have commanded us to do. Because if we do anything else, if we do otherwise than what you said, it's a sin. But I thank you, God, that one day you sent your son Jesus. He died for our sins so that we could live a righteous life. We thank you, God, that you've given us the gift of the Holy Ghost who abides on the inside. He's lived with us forever. And the Holy Ghost will help us to do everything that you command. Lord, we ask you to look on those who are not saved. We ask you to help their unbelief, draw them to you, save them, Lord. Give them a mind to want to be saved. Father, we ask you to look on those who desired to come today and they were hindered, but be with them. Lord, we ask you to keep them, Lord. And Father, we ask you to help us. Help us, Lord, to have a closer walk with you. Everything we do and say, we want to be pleasing to you. Keep us, Lord, with our minds stayed on you. Keep us in your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Again, we thank God for everyone that's here. Do you have any announcements? All right, Sister Edwards.
It says, your ministry is making a difference. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's John 15, chapter 8, verse. Just wanted to make sure you knew how appreciated you are, not only for all you do, but for who you are, a reflection of the one you serve. This one is from Barbara, Linda, Harvey, and Maurice, Sister Melania Smith's children.
Amen.
Amen. This one also says, to all of you. Somehow just saying thank you doesn't seem like enough, but I hope you know how much your kindness has meant to me. And this is from Sister Gibson and family. It says, thanks, we love you all. So we thank God for Sister Melania Smith children and Pastor and Sister Gibson, Brother Harvey. They just want to let us know how much they appreciate us in the time of their loss. So let's just remember all the sick and shut in, those who are bereaved. Remember those caregivers. Some of our caregivers are ill. So let's pray for our members, those that we see and can't get to see every Sunday, and if we like Pastor say, he call us by our names in prayer. So sometimes we can just call our names out to God in prayer. He knows the situation and he understands. Let's just call when possible. Can't visit, we don't want you to visit, but call when possible and just remember us in prayer. Remember our services also, Sunday mornings, 9:45 Sunday school, and then our 11 o'clock morning worship.
I bless you just to be mindful, constantly remind you, let's continue to follow those things that they advise us to do. And that's why we're wearing masks, because they recommended it, and we're going to do those things that's right to do. When you go out, let's continue to wear your mask. A lot of folks not wearing masks, but you wear yours, amen? Don't worry about them. You can't make anybody else, but you wear yours. Keep your hands washed, sanitized, and all those other things, and cough in your arms, and just keep looking to God. Say, God, help us. Help us. We need God's help. So many things are happening right now. So many things are happening. It's hurricane season. It's the protest. It's the COVID. It's not over yet, saints. COVID is not over yet. There's a storm that's in the Gulf of Mexico that headed towards Louisiana. Amen. Earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are happening. If we ever needed to pray, we sure need to pray now. We always needed to pray. But if you've gotten slack, you sure better get on your knees. Amen. You better get back to your prayer room and call on God for help, because he's the only one that can help us out of this situation. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the president. Pray for the president, saints. He's the leader. And God said that we are to